The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Uri Nidam, Hashem Yishmeru V'Hayehu, in honor of all the members of the Minyan, all the members of the Daf HaYomi, and in honor of the Rabbi, Tiskel Mitzvot. May he continue to succeed. Atzlacha v'arvacha b'chol ma'asi yadav. Amen.
Gemara Nedarim Dav Zayin. Today's daf is being studied in the Mishmat of Ram Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenechena B'gan Eden. Amen. His daf is being studied from Asher Lema Yosef Ben Sarah V'Sarah Bat Rachel. And not a friend of them, but Tokshar Hoda Amo Israel. Amen. Again, today's daf on Zayin Amud Yishon, starting on the top line. Yesh Yad Lestaka. Or En Yad Lestaka. Which means, again, we are continuing the subject of Yadayim, which is vague languages that are used for certain commitments. In this case over here, we're discussing a person makes a commitment to Tzedakah, the charity. So can he use a Yad, even if it is Mukhiyah, even if it is an explicit language, a clear language, in the sense, but it's not a totally explicit, but it's clear enough that we know what he's talking about. We call it a Yad Mukhiyah. Does that work by Tzedakah? Now, the Ran, he just says that this question of is not related to anything that we just said above. It is this independent question, even though we just asked a question on the last stop. We asked a few questions already. We said, yesh yad lekiddushin. That was our first question. Then we said, yesh yad lepe'ah. And now we're moving on to yesh yad. Then we said, yesh yad now to tzedakah. So the Gemara says, yesh yad lestakah or en yad lestakah. Hechidame, what's the case? If he said this coin's going to go to tzedakah and this one also, that's tzedakah. That's explicit tzedakah. That's not even a yad. Jeez, the guy said this coin is going to tzedakah and this, and he didn't say this also. So what's the question? My hadin name. What is it when it says hadin name? My hadin, namet tzedakah kamar. Does he also mean it's going to tzedakah? Or dilma, my vehadin, lenafkuta be'alma kamar. Meaning, and this coin over here, I'm going to spend it. It's going to be to be used for personal needs, lenafkuta, to go out, to be spent. Vidiburahu delo aske. Which means, and he did not, not committed to, He wasn't clear on his words, which means he didn't finish his words, which means he should have said ve'hadin lenafkuta. Lo aske debure. He didn't finish his terminology, and he just said ve'hadin, but he means it's going to be used personally, spent. Mi amrina. So what's the effect by tzedakah? Kevand itkash lekorbanot. Maybe he'll say, since we have a pasuk where tzedakah is compared to korbanot, dichtiv beficha. Because it says beficha in the pasuk zu tzedakah. And the rabbis tell us that when it says beficha, it's referring to the concept of tzedakah. And it's written in the same pasuk as korbanot. Why? What does the pasuk say? So if you look at the pasuk, it says, Motza sefatecha tishmor, ve'asita kashin nadarta l'ashem elohecha nedava shedibarta beficha. Now that pasuk is right before, after the pasuk of lo ta'acher. But you shouldn't delay your korbanot. So what are we learning over there? That will say that just like the pasuk before was talking about korbanot, and we know why korbanot yesh yad the korban. So therefore, I'll say to what that maybe so too the same thing. There's yesh yad letzedakah, because the word beficha is referring to the concept of tzedakah. Ma korbanot yesh lahem yad, just like korbanot has a yad. Av tzedakah yesh la yad, so to tzedakah we should make a hekesh from tzedakah to korbanot. It's only compared to Bal Ta'acher, which means that you cannot delay, but not to every subject of Korbanot, maybe only to specific items of Korbanot. Just like Korbanot, you have a certain amount of time until you get a Isur of delaying Bal Ta'acher. So to why to that guy, you make a donation, you have to pay by a certain time, and if you don't pay, you get a Isur. But maybe it's not, it's cash to every item. Are you going to ask me, what about the rule that says when you make a Hekesh, in Hekesh Lachatzain, you can't make a cash halfway? So we saw yesterday in the Ran, he answered that question already, that when do you say in hekesh, nahatzain, that's when the words are explicit. But over here, it doesn't say tzedakah explicitly in the pasuk, it just says the word beficha. Beficha, the Gemara is doing, that is referring to a person that's donating tzedakah. So since it's not explicit, you're not bound to learn the Hekesh 100%. You could split the Hekesh and learn it selectively. Like I said, that I'm only learning it Gebe Korban, only on the subject of Bal Ta'acher, but not Gebe all items. And the Gemara, again, does not answer this question. Now, there's a very strong question that they ask, the Mefarshim over here, from the Ramah in Yuridi'a, that says a person is allowed to make a vow of tzedakah in his heart. And if he makes even in his heart a commitment to tzedakah, he's got to make good on it. Which means, v'dover emet bilvavo, meaning even the things that he thinks about. So if that's the case, if even in, you don't even have to make a verbal declaration at all by tzedakah. So what's the whole Gemara's question? Yes, yad. What do you mean yad? You know, yad already is a lot. Here you don't even need a yad. Just in your mind already, you're bound to give the tzedakah. So the Mefarshim answer that you're right. If a guy makes machshaba will work. But once already you're using verbal, now you got to go with the rules of verbal. You got to go with the laws of yad mochiach and whatever the guidelines are. Which it's two separate. You don't make a kavahomet. Oh, if you can make it's two tracks. There's the mental tzedakah that you have to keep. But once already you're using a verbal terminology, so the next she'ela is yesh yad or en yad, the two separate items. So if it has to be valid according to the laws of yesh yad tzedakah, that answer is brought down by the Kirin Ola. Mara continues with the next question. Yesh yad lehefker or dilma en yad lehefker, which means a person makes something hefker. Hefker means ownerless. Which means you make your property ownerless. So the she'ela is, he's doing it in a way where it's a yad. So the Gemara says, Hainu tzedakah. We asked this question already. Making something ownerless is tzedakah, because who usually gets hefker? The anim. So therefore, basically, it's another way of a guy making his money ownerless so the anim can take it. So whatever we answer by tzedakah, if there's a yad, let that apply to the dilemma of hefker. So Gemara says, no, imtim selamar kamar. No, it's working that these two questions are really one after the other. They complement each other, the two questions. Imtim selamar, it works like this. Imtim selamar yesh yad letztakah, which is if you want to answer the last question and say, yes, indeed there is a yad letztakah, that if a person says, ma'azu letztakah vehaden, you want to say that that's considered okay. De'en hekesh lemechsan, you want to say that we don't make hekesh lemechsan, you make it the full hekesh between tzedakah and korbanot, and just like korbanot is a yad, so to buy tzedakah, hefker mi amnin and hainu tzedakah. Now that we go to hefker, will you say that hefker is also like tzedakah, and therefore hefker also works by yad, also works by hefker, where the guy, let's say, says, this item over here is hefker, vehadin. Will you say, odem, what's the other side? Shani tzedakah, tzedakah lo haja ila la'aniyim. Which means you could argue that tzedakah is exclusively to the aniim. When it comes to hefker is not limited to the aniim itself. So therefore, it's not necessarily only tzedakah. Which means if you make something ownerless, even the rich guys will have to come along and take it. So therefore, maybe it's not 100% like tzedakah. You could learn the law of tzedakah and the law of hefker to be analogous. And therefore, the Gemara leaves that as well. Okay, so that's that point. Right, the person declaring his property of kid intends it for the poor people to take it, but doesn't prevent the wealthy people from taking it either. So therefore, it's not exactly analogous to that as well. Okay, now the Ran over here. Look at the Ran starting with the top of the Amud, two lines down. Hefker ma'imi, I mean, I know tzedaka or no. Now the Ran is throwing in some more stuff that the Gemara doesn't discuss. Yesh yad lishvua. That makes a shivua. Shivua alai, that I'm not going to do this, or whatever it is may be. And he says shivua alai for this, and vahadin. He makes a statement like that where it's a yad, where he didn't finish the statement. How come the Gemara does not ask yesh yad lishvuot? Now we asked the Nedarim already. We went to Nizirut. We went down to the line. Kiddushin, Pe'ah, Tzedakah, Hefker. How come the Gemara doesn't ask yesh yad lishvuot? So the answer is, Meshum de Behedya itkush. Because that's Beferush Hekesh. Why? Ki yidor neder oy shava shivua. So we have a beferush pasuk that puts the darim in shivuot right next to each other. So there's an obvious hekesh between those two concepts. So just like there's yesh yad in darim, automatically yesh yad the shvua. In the Gemara, that was considered obvious. Okay, now we go to the next Gemara's question. Next question in the Gemara is Ba'ei Ravina, yesh yad lebet hakise o lo. Now, what is the case of yad for a bet hakiseh? So remember, we learned the Masechet Berachot, the subject of hazmana, which means for a bathroom to be considered profane, where you're not allowed to, let's say, learn Torah in there and have thoughts and have Torah and stuff like that, it has to be designated as a bet hakiseh. Because once it was used, it's over. Then already, we're not talking about it. We're talking about a new bathroom, but it was Huzman. It was already designated that this bathroom over here we're going to use now for, we're using this room here for Beta Kiseh. So the question is, if let's say a person made Hazmana, but not in a full language, what's the case? Hechidameh. Ilema de Amar. Hadin Beta Leve Beta Kiseh. If he said, this room over here is going to be a Beta Kiseh. Vehadin Nameh. And this one also, that's already Beferush. Hahu Beta Kiseh. Namehava, that's vaday bet kiseh, because the hazmana was explicit. That's not a yad. Ela kegon de amar vehaden velo amar nameh. He just said this room over is going to be a bet kiseh, and this one. He didn't say and this one also. So therefore, that would be considered a yad. That's mochiyah. May haden de amar. Now we want to understand what does the haden mean. Vehaden nameh bet kiseh. Does it mean it's also a bathroom? Or dilma may vehaden etashmisha be'alma ka'amar. Which means, or maybe just meant, and this room over here is going to be storage, for usage, not for a bathroom. So therefore the question is, can you make hazmana, that's what this really question is, can you make a hazmana a designation through a yad, which means not a full terminology. So the Gemara says, hold it. Michlal de pshita le ravina de yesh zimun de bet kiseh. Which means, side point. It seems from the way you're asking the question that ravina clearly holds Zimun is enough to make a bet kiseh, bet kiseh. The question is, could you just make that zimun through a not complete terminology? But zimun, if you made it beferush, it works. What are you talking about? We have the rabbinah. We had a question. Hizmino lebet kiseh mau. Hizmino lebet amirchas mau. Zimun mu'il or en zimun mu'il. Rabbinah himself had a safek if zimun does anything. Which means maybe you have to actually use the bathroom once in order to for it to have a din of bet kiseh. So Ravina himself was not certain if zimun works at all. So what is he asking this question over here that he has a yad for bet kiseh? What do you mean? You don't even know if you did it beferush if it works according to Ravina. So what is he asking now the gebe yad? So he was Ravina chada mego chada kame bayele zimun mo'il or en mo'il. Or en zimun mo'il. Im tibsilomar yesh zimun, yesh yad or en yad. Which means, it's a progression of questions. His first question was, listen, does zimun work or not at all? Even beferush, which means maybe it's not enough to make a designation for a bathroom to become a bathroom. Maybe you have to actually use it. And if you want to tell me yesh zimun, then he asks the next question. What about a yad? Which is, let's say you designated it through a incomplete terminology. Like you said, Aden Beta Kiseh Aden, and you didn't say Aden Nameh. Now, regarding all these questions now that we asked, which is starting from Kiddushin, Pe'ah, Tzedakah, Hefker, Beta Kiseh, the Gemara concludes and says, Tebayele. Tebayele is like we find in other Gemariot Tiku. It's a question. You see, Nedarim has its own style language as well. But Tibayele means, yes, Kit, which means that all these questions remain in abeyance, in a dilemma. We do not answer them. Now, the Ran over here, he says, Ulinyan halakha. Which means he's going to now have to go through all the five cases and try to come out with a conclusion. ולעניין ההלכה בקדושין נחתינה נחומרה דיש יד דכיוון דבעיה לא אפשטה, הווה לספקה דאורייתא ולחומרא. Okay, so the Ran is using a principle that we're well familiar with. Safek deoraita lechumra. Kedushin is a deoraita lo. So then when a guy goes along to a lady, gives her two coins, and the friend sitting next to her, and he comes along and says, you know, aret mekudeshet li bekaspa din ve'at, so that you have to be choshesh lechumra. That what? Maybe the second lady is indeed married. And therefore, you got to work it out lechumra. You cannot just say, oh, it's nothing. What do you mean? Maybe it's safek deoraita over. If she's married, she's eshet ish. So therefore, in that case over there, we're going to say, yes, yad lechumra. Now, when it comes to pea and tzedakah, כתב הרשב"א זה הנמד אזין לחומרה. כיוון דסלקים בתיקו, וכן כתב הרמב"ן מלכותיו, דבעיין דסלקה לא הפשטה בעדיה, וסוגיין דישה לסלקה וכמה לנמד לכל תיקו דסורה לחומרה. So, the Ramban and the Rashba want to say that the same thing we're going to say by pea and tzedakah, which means these are cases of isur, and isur deoraita. Pe'ah as well, and tzedakah is also commitment deoraita, so if you have to go lechumra as well. And if a person said this furrow or this row of produce is going to be pe'ah vadin, you got to treat that as pe'ah as well. Or he said this money is going to be the tzedakah vadin, you got to treat it lechumra as well. However, the Ran does not like this. I'm scrolling down a little. אבל במאי דקמא דקמא לנמד דחות תיקו דיסורה לחומרה ונראה שהסכים גם כן לזה הרשב"א ותמהני עליהן שהרי סוגיה מפורשת בסוף פרק הזו ולחיים שספק ממון עניים הרי הוא ספק ממון תאזין אמבה לכולה לנטבע. The Ran says, no, this is ספק ממון over here. And what do we do when it comes to a ספק ממון? המוציא מחברה, המוציא מחברו, עליו הראיה, you can't take money out of a person מספק. So there he looks at it in a different way. He says, when a guy comes along and says, this money over here is for tzedakah, v'hadin. That's the anim going to come along now and say, I'll take that. Hey, who says, prove to me that a yad is mochiach, works by tzedakah. You want to take money out of me, you cannot take that money out of me until you prove it. That's a safik of mamon. Safik mamon, you don't take it out of the guy. Same thing with pe'ah. This arugah over here is pe'ah, v'hadin. Ani comes along and says, okay, I'll take that. Hey, oh, not so fast. I just said v'hadin. That's a yad mochiach. That's not a complete language. So the Ran argues on those ishonim. And he wants to say that, no, by kiddushin, that's vaday in isur. Isur deoraita, you have to be mahmir. But when it comes to monetary items, tzamotzim ha-chaviru ala varaya, we didn't poshet the question, so therefore we go lekula. The last question is the gabe di bet ha-kiseh. The gabe di bet ha-kiseh, hazmana, according to everybody, is a drabanan law. That they're making a hazmana to a bet ha-kiseh to give it its status. So therefore, everybody will say that by the Bet HaKiseh rule, we say Lekula, and therefore, if a person was Mazmin, the Bet HaKiseh through a Yad, it is not considered Muzman, and he still would be able to learn Torah in that room, and, you know, it's not considered a designation. It's the fact that a banan, Lekula. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Minude ani lecha. Okay, that was actually a quote. If you go back to the Mishnah on that bit, the last quote of the Mishnah was, מנודה אני לך, רבי עקיבא היה הוכח בזה להחמיר. What was the case? The guy says, מנודה אני לך. Now, מנודה can be like from the word נידה. Ladies called the נידה, why? Because she is like excommunicated. She's removed from her husband. So therefore, minudeh ani lecha. A guy tells his friend, minudeh, I'm removing myself, from you. Like I'm excommunicating myself from you somehow, right? Or I'm distancing myself. That's what the language of minudeh is. So Rabbi Akiva, when he heard this language, haya chochech bazeh lachmir. He was pondering to be mahmir on such a case. Now, I want to point out to you, again, we're talking about a case like the case we mentioned right above it. Mudrani mimicha, mufreshani mimicha, meruchakani mimicha, where he's saying after she'ani yochel, which is he has to say a specific item. So the case is where he says, minudeh ani lecha, she'ani yochel, that I'm not going to eat, he has to attach it to something, right? She'ani yochel. So in this case, over Rabbi Akiva was chochech, and said, you know, even those words, minudeh, you got to be machbed, for the guy's not going to be able to eat the food from his friend. And also considered a lashon of a neder. And that's going to be considered the asur. So comes the Gemara and says, actually, let's read the Ran. Minudeh ani. Some of the ways down. Minudeh ani in the Ran. מנודני דחן רבי עקיבא חוכך פזר דחמיר. חוכך, מה זה חוכך מין? כאדם שהוא מסופק בדבר, הוא מתחכך בעצמו, בפני שאינו יכול לבררו. Which means he's like pondering the item, right? Like a person when he thinks we said he puts his hand on his forehead and he rubs, you know, back and forth to try to analyze. So it's chokhek. He was thinking about the case to see if he should be machmir or not. Next one. I'm sorry. So Gavs the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Modeh Rabbi Akiva Le'inyan Malkut She'en Eloke. Even though he wants to be machmir legabe the isur, that the guy's going to be forbidden to eat the bread that he's forbidding himself, but he's not going to get malkut on such a neder. Which means if he, let's say, breaks the neder and he eats, it's not so strong that we're going to give him malkut. The imken nitni Rabbi Akiva Mahmir. Right, if that's the case, let's just say he's Mahmir. From the fact that it says Chokhech Lahmir, it says he's Misupak. So therefore, on Sefik, you don't give a guy Malkut if he transgressed such an edit. If you were giving him Malkut, it's not being Chokhech, just say Rabbi Akiva Mahmir. He says it's no good. Look at the Ram. Rabbi Akiva. מודה היה רבי עקיבא גם מלכות שלו כדה מספקה הוא שהיה מחמיר ולא שהיה הדבר ברור לו ומי הוא שמעינה דיידות נמר למלכות את רבו דילו מה מודה רבי עקיבא פשיטה from here you learn another concept but that when you're holding this concept of ידות that ידות נדרים is like נדרים it's full-fledged נדרים to the extent where you're going to get מלכות even which is why a regular yad that we say is a good yad by נדרים If the guy breaks it, you get malkut. It's just the question was by minude ani lecha. Rabbi Akiva had a question on the lashon. So on that lashon, he'll be machmir that you cannot benefit from the bread, but he'll tell you you're not going to get malkut. But so comes the Gemara and says, Amar papa benadina minach. And now we get some terminology there. Let's say the guy uses the language not mudra, not minude, nadina. Nadina. Everybody holds that the word Nadina is Asur. And Mishamatna Minach Likula Alma Shari. And when he uses the word Mishamatna, everybody says that language is Mutar. What's the difference between the languages? Ran. Nadina Minach Likula Alma Asur. Kilomar. Asur Viloke. Meaning it's full fledged. Siyad, give the guy lashes even. Good. You have to say the word "shani yochelecha" because that's what the ayel gabem ufreshani merchukan mechonam at shumad shani yochelecha. Ubenadina nami dechvatu shul lashon arhaka. Like I told you, it's like lashon the nida. Why is the nida called a nida? Because she's removed. She's distanced from the husband. So if a nadina is a lashon of meruchak. Now, mishamit naminat dekol amashari. Ran. The afilu amar shani yochelecha isurana mileka she'en ze lashon neder. אלא לשון שמתה. והיינו נמי דעובדה דהו גברה דאמר משמיתה מנכסה מנינו פניק את רב חסדה, אף אגב דמנכסה אבי מוכח כאילו אמר שאני אוכל לך. Which means, when a person says the word משמתנה, that's not a לשון נדר. That's לשון excommunication. And therefore, you don't use that לשון to assert yourself on your friend's items by saying, I'm excommunicating myself to you. That's not the right לשון. So therefore, everybody says, if you said, Mishamatna ani mimach, that's nothing. You're not osir to the guy, you're not osiring yourself to the guy's item. That's a wrong language to use by the Nedarim. Oh, so be my peligi. So if everybody agrees by Nadina, and everybody agrees by Mishamatna, so where is the machloket over here? So comes the Gemara and says, Biminude ani lecha. The machloket is by our case of the Mishnah, Minude ani lecha. Biakiva Savar Lishnad Niduyahu. Biakiva holds that this is Lashon of Nidui. Nidui is, like we said, Miruhak. I am distancing myself from you. The Rabbanan Savar Lishnad Mishamatnahu. He said, no, that's the word Mudra Minude sounds like more of a terminology of excommunication. And therefore, he holds that it's not considered anything. So that's really the Machloket, the three terminologies we discussed just now. Nadina, everybody wants to say, Asur. Nadina means I am distancing myself from you. That's considered a yad, Asur. Mishamatna, everybody says mutar. Why? Because that's not a lashon neder. I'm excommunicating myself. No, we're talking about excommunication over here. That's mutar. No, but that's the, no. Even though, no, excommunication, you put somebody in excommunication. A person doesn't excommunicate himself from his friend's property. That's not a shon of a nidin. You could say, I distance myself. But that lashon excommunication is the wrong terminology. What else could it mean? It doesn't mean anything. Normally, when a person, let's say, does isur, the rabbis will put him in excommunication. But to use that word to forbid yourself from your friend's assets through excommunication, that's not a terminology. You're not using that. You have to, again, when you make nedarim, you have to use lashon. That's mashma, at least that. So the machloket is by minudeh. Rabbi Akiva says minudeh is like nadena. I'm distancing myself. That's like merhokani, which is fine. And according to the banan, it's mishamatna. Comes the Gemara and continues. This Taran speaks out over here. Olanyan alacha, meaning on the Amud Rishon. Lo kaimalan k'Rabbi Akiva. Medamrina delet dehashla. Ve'od dekaimalan alacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavero, ve'lo mechaverav. He says, we don't go like Rabbi Akiva. Number one, because the Gemara is going to say, let the hashla. Nobody was hoshesh to Rabbi Akiva's shita. And we have anyway a rule that when Rabbi Akiva is arguing against the majority, we go like the majority. Normally, like I said, Rabbi Akiva mechavero. When it's one against one, Rabbi Akiva mechavero, ve'lo mechaverav. So therefore, again, you go like the Rabbanan. Hilkach, nadina minach sheni yochel lecha asur ve'loke. Nadina minach melchut shari, minude ani lecha sheni yochel lecha nami share. Then צריך לומר, משמעת המנהג שאני אוכל לך, וחיפש הקרמבן בלכותיו. Okay, so that's the way that Rana is being פוסק למעשה. נדינה אסור, משמעתנה מותר, מנודה מותר. Comes the Gemara and continues, ופליגה דרב חסדה. This is the way we're understanding is arguing against רב חסדה. Why, what did רב חסדה say? דאו גברה דאמר. There was a guy that came along and said, "Meshamatna min nichse debre," which means I am excommunicating myself from the nechasim of my son. The Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Atal kamed Rav Chizda. He came before Rav Chizda. Amar le dechash la lead Rabbi Akiva. Nobody pays attention to Rabbi Akiva. That means what? Rabbi Akiva must have been talking about meshamatna as well. We learned till now, no, when it comes to Mishamatna Kula Alma Lo Peligi, then it's nothing. But now when Afrizda came along and was brought a story to him where a guy said Mishamatna, he said, oh, Rabbi Akiva? No one goes with Rabbi Akiva. That means what? Kasaba be Mishamatna Peligi. Because must be, oh, that the argument between the banana and Rabbi Akiva was even in the terminology of Mishamatna, from the way he answered the question, which he should have said, what do you mean Mishamatna? Nobody agrees with Mishamatna. But from the fact that he says, oh, nobody goes with Rabbi Akiva, Smash reveals that even Rabbi Akiva had an opinion by Mishamata that is considered a Lashon Neder. So therefore, Rav Chisda is learning the Mahlok a little differently than we learned above. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Rav, Nidahu Befanav. Okay, now we talk about the little excommunication stories. The person, let's say, was Minadeh person in front of him. Befanav. En Matin no Ela Befanav. So when you undo it, when you take it off, it also has to be mefanav, in front of him. Nidal shelo mefanav, matirin lo ben mefanav, ben shelo mefanav. But if you excommunicated him, shelo mefanav, so then already you can take it off him, whether it's in front of him or not in front of him. What's the case? So here, look at the top line. Nidal mefanav, en matirin lo ben mefanav, dekevan de mefanav, nidahu alim niduye. That's a strong nidui when you do it in front of the guy. Velo mi'akar ela befanav. Okay, which means like the Gemara says in Gittin, he says kol miltad mitabdiya be'asara sericha be'asara lemishlefa. Any eye that you do in front of 10 people, you need 10 people to take it off. Which means once you're doing it in front of the person, it has already a weight. So the only way you can take it off is in front of the person. Then he says here velo nihira, means I don't like it. Ela tamad milta mishum hajda. The Ran says a different interpretation now. He says, no, the whole suspicion over here is because of hashad. What's the hashad? Suspicion. The e matrin lo shalom b'fanav pe'amim shiyatiru v'minudu lo yada u'kshelo yinhag bo nidu yavo l'hashdan. What's going to happen over here? You put the guy in nidu in front of him. Then the rabbis went behind his back without him knowing. They said, oh, we're taking it off. Now what's going to happen over here? We're choshed that what's going to happen that pe'amim shiyatiru v'minudu lo yada. Not going to know. And what's going to happen? He himself is going to break his nidui because he's that type of guy. ושלא ינהג בו נידוי יבוא לחשדן. They're going to come and suspect him for making a איסור. אבל כשנידוי שלא בפניו לקח חשדה, שאף הוא סובר שמתירו שלא בפניו, כשם שנידוי שלא בפניו. And therefore nobody's going to suspect them, because the people will say, the guy probably figures just like they made him benidui shlo befanav, so they undid it shlo befanav. So therefore when he's making transgressing his nidui, nobody's going to suspect them for anything. But the problem is, we want it to be befanav dafka. When you did it befanav, it's got to be befanav, because otherwise when the guy's breaking his nidui, the people are going to say, oh, look at the guy's making isudim. So that's the issue of Daran. Does that have to be the same people? It seems yes. Seems that those that put him in the nidui have to take him out of the nidui.
Amar Rav Hanin, Amar Rav, Hashomei Azkarat Hashem Mipi Havero.
A guy hears his friend say Shem Hashem, the name of God. Sarich Lenadoto. You have to put him in nidui. V'im lo nidau. If the guy didn't put him in nidui, hu atzmo yeh b'nidui. So the guy himself who heard it has to be put in nidui. שכל מקום שהזכרת השם מצויה שם, עניות מצויה. Which means any time you hear the name of God being said in vain, we're talking about over here. So חס ושלום, poverty is found very close. ועניות כמיתה. And death and עניות are similar. Why? שנאמר כי מתו כל האנשים. Remember when Moshe Rabbeinu was forced to leave Mitzrayim because Datan va'Aviram went to Paro and were trying to influence Paro against Moshe because he killed the Egyptian. So he had to flee to Midian. So what does Borei Olam tell Moshe? You can come back. Why? Ki metu kol ha'anashim mevakshim et nafshecha. Now the Gemara says that this was talking about over here where they became impoverished. They didn't actually die. But the Pasuk says they died. So what do you see from over here? That Aniyut is considered like Mitah. The Gaon of Vilna says, how do you know that they, maybe they did die, actually. How do you know it was just Aniyut? So he says, because if you look at the language of the Pasuk, it says, Ki metu kol ha'anashim ha-mevakshim et nafshecha. Mevakshim is that want your life. It should say, shebikshu, that wanted your life. And the fact that it says ha-mevakshim, it's much, they still want your life. Okay, so if they still want his life, how can he go back? So the Gaon says, must be they became poor. Why? Because now they have no influence. Which means their whole influence is what? They're going to go try to be Malchin. But it says, Chokhmat miskin bizuya. Nobody listens to the poor guy. So therefore they lost their clout to go against Moshe Rabbeinu. How? Must be they became impoverished. Even though there's other ways of mitah. For example, says somebody that's hasuche banim doesn't have children is considered like me, but that shouldn't affect their influence. It says a someh is hashuv kamet, blind man, but that shouldn't affect their influence. And it must be the mitah that they were talking about over there was an aniyut, which already now affects their influence because nobody listens to them anyway. So therefore, God tells Moshe he can go back. The Gemara continues and says vetanya kol makom shenatnu hachamim einehem. Another reason that any time the hachamim put their eyes on somebody. Omita ooni, which means either there's death or there is poverty. And the rabbis learn over here, so therefore Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was angry at Datan Aviram, so they lost all their money as a result of it. So that was like the Hakpadav Moshe Rabbeinu. So they say, where do you see this concept from? Omita ooni. You see it from Eliezer Eved Avraham. When Eliezer Eved Avraham came to find the Shidduch for Rivka, for Yitzhak Abinu. So they went to the house of Bituel. So they were giving him a hard time. So in the beginning, they didn't want to give Rivka immediately. So Eliezer tells Bituel and Navan, either give me the girl now, or Efne al Yamin or al Simon. He says, I'll go to the right, or I'll go to the left. So the simple interpretation is, I'll go to different families, to the right or to the left, and I'll find a wife for Yitzhak Abinu. So the Gemara says on Hagiga that again the same thing. What happened? Eliezer was makpir on Levan and Betuel. So it says Betuel died in that story. He tried to poison Eliezer, and then the Malach switched the cups, and therefore Betuel ended up drinking poison, so he died. And it says Lavan lost all his money. He didn't make his money till Yaakov came back and brought Beracha. That's why it says Vaybarecheni Hashem Begdalecha. He says, I was blessed because of you. And from that time he was impoverished. And the Hachamim, the Ben Ish Chai says, that's what he meant, Ve'efne al Yamin or al Semon. Because it says that there's the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yudke Vavke. And the Yud is the most right letter in the name, and the He is the most left letter. And we know that when Borei Olam created the world, he created the world with the Otiyot. So it says, long life. Long life was created with the letter Yud. The ultimate long life is long life in Olam Abba. But long life is connected the letter Yud. And wealth is connected the letter He. Like the Pasuk says, He Lachem Zera. Which means, Beracha is in the letter He. So therefore, Eliezer was telling Lavan and Betuel, either give me the girl now, ve'ifne al yamin, or I'll invoke the right, meaning the yud, orich yamin bimina, or al semon, or bismola osher v'chavod, or I'll take away from the left, which is the osher v'chavod. They did. Even though they gave Rivka, it's too late. And the Hachamim put the anayim on the guy, and he took the orich yamin bimina, bismola osher v'chavod. Let's read the Ran now in these cases. Now, we should go back for a moment. Look at the Ran, where he says, Birushalmi. Neta'ama mishum hajda. Ulfi ze kol sho di'uhu, deleka hajda, matirino shelo befanav. Which means he points out that the whole reason why you have to do it befanav is so the guy won't come to violate the nidui, unbeknownst to him. Because he's going to say they put him in nidui befanav, so they have to do it befanav. But if you're not going to do it befanav, he might break the nidui, and therefore it's going to come to hashad. So the Ran just speaks out, but let's say they told him. Let's say they went and told him, and we're going to take off your nidui. So once he knows about it, they could even do it shelo befanav. So that would be the nafkamina between the way the Ran is learning. According to the first way they're learning, no. You did it in front of him, it has a tokif, it has a weight. You have to take it off in front of him. Understand? Even if you're going to tell him, so we're going to take it off you, it doesn't matter, you got to do it in front of him. Because the item that's done in front of the hachamim have to be pre-hachamim in front of him, well, in front of the same guy and take it off. Mashaykh, according to the Ram, what's the Ram's reason? The Ram's reason is if you're not going to do it in front of him, he's going to think that the nidui was off, and he's going to go transgress it. So therefore, so the guy doesn't come to Hashad, do it in front of him. So according to that, if the rabbis would tell him, listen, that tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we're taking it off, so therefore you have no problem anymore, because he knows it's being taken off, then it would not have to be done. That's what the Ran speaks out. Let's do the next one. Hashomei azkarat Hashem epi havero sarik lenad doto, beresh temura mafkinen azarat l'meskid shem shem l'batam edichtiv et Hashem elohei chatira. We learned that from the pasuk of Hashem elohei chatira, you have to fear the name of God, that you should not say his name, lebatala. So you hear somebody saying God's name in vain, you have to put him in nidui. And if you didn't put him in nidui, who atzmo yeh b'nidui? Now, lo shiyeh b'nidui me'elav. The Ran says it's not an automatic. Ela ra'ui let the dot come out. Which means he's worthy to be put into nidui. Which means a nidui is not something that just comes on a person. Which means the guy who said it b'ferush needs to be put in nidui. You're going to make the guy who just didn't react worse than the guy who said it? Yeah. Which means, the guy who said the Shem, what does it say? You have to put him in Nidui. It's not an automatic. So then you're not going to tell me that the guy who didn't put the guy in Nidui is automatic. Be put. You also have to put a ma'aseh on him as well. So the Ran speaks it out. Shareh maskir al tusrik Nidui. Ve'achiyem hamur mimenu ashomeya v'shotek. Ela kada amran. Shebechol makom. The Gemara is explaining. What does it mean? What do you need this line in the Gemara? What is that got to do with anything in this Gemara? So he says, because we're giving a reason that we just said, if the guy heard somebody say God's name in vain, and he didn't react, it says, wherever you're going to mention my name the right way, God says, I'm going to come down to you and give you a barakah. ומדאזכרת השם למצווה מביאה ברכה. When you mention God's name for the right way, it brings ברכה ועושר. הזכרה לשב קורמת עניות. And therefore, you heard God's name mentioned in vain, and you didn't react. This is a terrible thing which just took place. It brings aniyut to the world. And therefore, that's why you have to be benidui, because of the effect that mentioning Hashem's name in vain causes. Inami medichtim gabe shvat sheker, chatu et esav et abanav, b'tumena medamei haskarat shem lebatala shvat sheker. They say that saying God's name in vain is similar to shvat sheker. Shvat sheker brings aniyut, so therefore the same thing. Shene emad, next ram, ki metu kol anashim. Now just showing you, how do you know that aniyut is considered death? Delo metu mamash. קדמים לקמן, פרק רבי עזר. דמווה עבה, דכל מקום שנאמר, נצים וניצבים, אינם אלא דתם ואבירם. We know, anytime it says in the pasuk, שני אנשים נצים, או ניצבים, so it's talking about who? דתם ואבירם. We know these famous characters. ואינו עבה במחלקו של קורח. That in the Ram brings a much simpler proof. How do we know that they didn't actually die? Because we know they were around much later on in history, at the time of Korach. Right? They were in the Mahlokit. אלא מפני שהענו אמר כי מתו. דווקא גם אם הייתם לארבעה חושבים כמת, או even though we say there's four people that are considered dead, עני וסומה, סומה, ומסורה מישהו אין לו בנים, הכה ודאי מעניות כאמר, דאין לו מה שנסתמו. He's going to go methodically now. Maybe they became blind. Can't say why. דאקתי במחלתו של קורח, העיני האנשים ההם תנקר, which means, they said, even if you're blind us, Moshe, we're not going with you. So it means they weren't blind. We're not going to say that they became lepers, because it says Metzorah Hashuv Kamet. Why? Because they were amongst all of Israel. And if they're Metzorah, they're not allowed to be amongst all of Israel. They've got to be outside the Mahaneh. Maybe Matan Torah, they got better. Because we said in Matan Torah, anybody had any ailments, they got better. Did anybody that had a blemish, it came back to them after they did the Aigil. So therefore, if they were Mitzuraim, they might have been temporarily relieved, but they would have got it back. Maybe because they didn't have children. Exactly. Just because they didn't have children. What? That takes away their power of influence to the king? What's the pshat? They lost their influence. How do you lose the influence? You lose your money. Once a person loses his money, he loses his influence. So therefore, he said, you can go back. Nobody's listening to the Tav Aviram anymore. They're dead. What type of death must have been? Must have been a monetary loss. Next, Ran. Omita Oni. Alma Shavula Hadadi. From here you see what? Death and aniyut is equivalent. And therefore, when you hear somebody saying God's name in vain and you don't make him a nidui, the person should be a nidui himself. You're bringing death to the world. This guy is bringing death. You're not reacting and putting him in nidui. That's why the Gemara is making such a thing of this over here. So Gemara says, V'ikshu b'tosafot, k'daran. What are you saying? Only when a guy hears his friend saying Hashem's name is vain, you have to put him in nidui. Anything your friend does wrong, you have to put him in nidui. Not only Haskarat Hashem Shamayim. Why is he not limiting Haskarat Hashem Shamayim? Anything you see your friend doing wrong, you should put him in nidui. Guy was planting a kilayim. He was planting seeds next to his vineyard. So what happened? Let's go put him in nidui. So you see, even on any item. The servant of Rabbi, the maid servant. Remember we saw, she saw a guy hitting her older son. So after a certain age, you're not supposed to hit anymore. Because what's going to happen? You hit an older child, he's going to hit you back. So therefore you're setting the child up for a sin. So you see that you have to put nidui not only on a scratch of Shamayim. Well, so what's the Gemara saying this over here? You're right. For any avon that you see your friend doing, you got to put him in nidui. That's the understanding. If you didn't do it, by other sins, if you didn't do it, you didn't do it. By Haskarat Shem, the Batalaf, you didn't put the guy in nidui, you yourself are in nidui. That's the Hiddush of the Gemara. On the other side, if you didn't react, the nidui is put on the guy. Why? Because it's so hamur. Why? Because it brings Oni to the world. And Oni is considered like mita from the story of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Abba Hava Ka'im Nakamed Rav Huna. I was in front of Rav Huna. Shama'a Lehachiteta. We heard a lady. The Afka Askarat Hashem, the Batala, that she said the name of Hashem, the Batala, in vain. Shamta, so they put her in Harem. They made a Nidui. Vishara la le'altar be'apa. And then they released her from our excommunication immediately. That was the story. So the Gemara says, Shema Amina Telat. So from this story, you learn three laws. Number one, Shema Amina Shomei Askarat Hashem Epi Havero Sarich Lenadoto. That when you hear somebody say God's name in vain, so you have to put them in nidui, you have to excommunicate them. Shema mina, nidau befanav, en matirin lo ela befanav. And you see that when a person puts somebody excommunication in front of them, so the only way to take it off of them is also to do it in front of them, like the story. Shema mina, and we learn also, en ben nidui lahafara velo kelum. That what? That you do not have to wait any time between the nidui and the hafara. You see, she was in nidui for a few moments, and then right away they released her. In Gemara, Moed Katan, Mashma, according to one shita, that a nidui is 30 days. But for me, you see what? That once a person goes into a nidui, so long as he went in it for a couple of seconds, even a minute, you're able to take it immediately off. Let's read the Ran. Vishma mina, en bin nidui la fara velo kelu. Mekshu betosafot. Meda amar beperek velo migalchin. Achi kamar shuel tut asar. When a person makes avon, ad the high la'ale shamtin taltin yomin. It's mashma over there, the Gemara 30 days. And here is mashma immediately. Vetirzu de shaniaka shiniduize eno ela le'ayem alav shelo yazkir od shem shamayim lebatala. Which means over here, it's more of an intimidation type of nidui, in order to get the person not to make the Shem Shamayim Lebatala again. Velodami Afkaruta. Afkaruta over there was, let's say, the person was chutzpah to a rabbi, or acted in a way of disrespect. There already the nidui is 30 days. But here, it's just like a deterrent factor, that we don't want the person to do it again. So such a nidui, you made your point. You put them in nidui, she got the message, they're already able to take around. That's why, Mishum Hachiacha, En Ben Nidui Lafara Velo Kelum. And that's the way he understands. Aval Reiti Laval Tasi, Shedacha Ota, Shebeperik Velo Megalchin, Mepenezu. The Rif says, this Gemara and the Darim and Masechet Moed Katana says 30 days is soter each other, and therefore he said, from here you see we posek like Masechet and the Darim, that for any type of nidui, immediate hafara is legal. Kemosh katab belchotab beferik belug begalchin vechen da'at Rambam zal. That's the opinion of Rambam, that on all types of nidui, its hafara is immediate. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rav Gidal, Amar Rav Talmid Hacham. A Talmid Chacham could put himself in a self-imposed nidui, and after he puts himself in a self-imposed nidui, he's able to take himself out of it. So the question is over here, what type of nidui are we talking about? So let's look at the Ran. The Ran over here brings a machloket amongst the Rishonim. Talmid Chacham minadeh la'atzmo umefer la'atzmo. Katav Rashba. It's talking about over here where he's not really obligated a nidui. It's more that he's putting himself in nidui more as a stringency, but it's not a mandatory nidui. We're going to see a story now that Gemara is going to bring down of a rabbi that put himself in nidui because he needed to put one of his students in nidui. So the Gemara is going to tell us that before he put the student in nidui, he put himself in nidui as well, because he felt bad out of the respect of the Talmid Chacham that he's going to have to put in nidui. So he wanted to put himself in, according to some shitot, to give himself kapara, for having to do what he has to do. So that's not a mandatory nidui, that's a voluntary nidui. So the Rashba's learned that when Rav Gida made his statement over here, that the Talmid Chacham could put himself in nidui and take himself out, it's still not a voluntary niduim. But when the rabbi puts himself in nidui for something that's mandatory, he cannot take himself out. Then you need somebody else to take out. So that's Shita of the Rashba.
However, the Ran learns differently. The Ran Shita is, scroll down a little. Fichah amru da kol ibechod inyan shlidat tasum mefil atzmo v'chen dat harambam. Which means, according to the Ran and the Rambam, they understand that Rav Gidal's limit is any type of nidui, even if it's a mandatory nidui. For example, let's say he says Shem Shamayim the Batala, or he did some type of avera that's warranting a nidui. Tamir Hakam can put himself in and can also take himself out. So again, just keep in mind the machloket between the Ran and the Rambam against the Rashba. What type of nidui is Rav Gidal talking about? Now we go back to the Gemara. Rav Gidal Amar Rav Tamin Hakam Minadel Laatzmo Umefel Laatzmo Peshita. So the Gemara says, what it means? Pashut Maudete Mach. You would have thought En Havush Matir Laatzmo Bet Asurim. You would have thought that we have a rule that a person that's in prison cannot take himself out. A person has handcuffs on. Can't take your handcuffs off yourself. You need somebody else to take off the handcuffs. So the same thing, you might have thought that somebody that's tied down by a nidui, you need somebody else to take it off. Kamashma'lan. That what? No. That the Tamin Akam can't even take off a self-imposed nidui of himself. Hechidame, what's the case? Kiha de Morzutra Hasida. Like the story of Morzutra Hasida. Kime Hayev Barberav Shamata. When a student was Hayav Nidui, Meshamet Nafshe Beresha. First he would put himself in Nidui, Vadar Meshamet Barberav, and then he would put the student in Nidui. And when he would come home, before he would enter his house, that's more Zutra, before he would enter the house, Sharel Nafshe, he would release himself from his own Nidui, Vadar Sharel, and then he would release the young student. Now the Ran comes along and says, he learns a few things from over here. Number one, why would he put himself in nidui before he would put the student? So one explanation we said already from the Rashi Pasuk is because of kavod to the Tamid Hakam. He felt bad that he has to disrespect, so to speak, the Tamid Hakam by putting him in nidui. So for kapara, for that, he would put himself in as well. The Tosafot over here has a different interpretation. Tosafot explains that the reason why he did it was in order that he shouldn't forget, which means he doesn't want to forget to take the student out of the Hayrim. So how's he going to remember? He puts himself in Hayrim. So he knows he has to take himself out. So when he takes himself out, he'll remember that he has to take the student. That's the Shita of the Tosfot. But we see over here that what? That before he went into his house, he released himself. So what does that teach us? That when a person puts himself in Nidui, it affects already the family as well. Look at the bottom line. V'chi ayin libeteh shari l'nafsheh kedesh shlo yitztarechu b'nei beto l'trachayk memenu. So his family members will not have to keep away from him. U'me'a ma'ashwa d'menudeh afilu b'nei beto no'agin bo nidui. De'i lo ma'ki ayin libeteh. What does it say when he came into his house? He doesn't have to remove it when he comes into his house. U'mi yu'ar ha'avad zal katav de'ishto ena hayevet l'nhog bo nidui. That the Ravad holds that the wife is not obligated to follow the law of Nidui when a husband is a Nidui wife. It's like him. The wife is like the husband. Therefore, it's the same. The Ravad wrote an ayat to this from a Masechet Moed Katan. It says over there, Minude mau b'tashmish amita. The one who knows, Minude is you have to have tashmish with his wife. Deim ishto chayevet lenhog bo nidui, ma kame bayale. Pshita, dafidu kiruv ba'al ma'asur. Ela vaday ishto muteret. So the Ravad has a nice ra'ayah. The Gemara has a question. Can a person that's minudeh have tashmish with his wife? What do you mean? If the lady cannot come within 4 amot of his husband, so what's the question? Ela, you see what? That nidui doesn't affect the wife because ishto kigufo. The Ran rejects that proof. The Ran says, ve'efshal lechot ra'ayah zu, dafidu kiruv ba'al ma'asur, ishto chayevet lenhog bo nidui. Even if you want to say that, no. That there is nidui by the wife, mashka atla lahi ba'aya b'menudeh le'ir acheret, shenu menudeh le'iro, which is talking about a case where the guy was menudeh to another city, but he wasn't a menudeh to his own city. V'afilu achi hu atzmo menudeh, and therefore v'im ita de menudeh asur v'tashmish amita hu atzmo asur bekach af api she'eshto muteret, which means that the Gemara's question is maybe his wife is mutar to him, but he's asur to his wife. So the Ran wants to give an answer, and if we have a machlok, it comes out fantastic. Machlok must be Rishonim, the Ran and the Ra'avad. When a person is put in Nidui, does it affect his wife? Everybody agrees it affects Bnei Beto. That's why the rabbi did it before he came in. But the question is, does it affect his wife? That's what we said as a machlok amongst the Rishonim. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.